Hey guys, once again, welcome to Echo Church Online. I'm excited to launch into our Christmas series today called The Gift. Before we do, let me just quickly thank everyone that has been participating in the Legacy Offering. Despite the challenges that you might personally be facing, you all have been so generous. We'll keep the offering open through the end of the year. If you still wish to participate, simply text the word LEGACY to 94255 and click on the link. On Christmas Eve and the final Sunday of 2020, we'll be sharing how we're able to share your generosity, and I cannot wait to share that with you. As we get going with the message, why don't you type these two words online, the gift. Including today, we'll have three opportunities to engage the Christmas story together. And I want to invite you to join us for all three as we look at the three different gifts that some wise men gave to Jesus around the time of his birth. I'll share on this today, next Sunday, and then for our first ever Christmas Eve service. Sunday mornings will be at 10 a.m. and then Christmas Eve will be at 4 p.m. If you choose to participate online, I'd highly encourage you to find a time to gather the family together in front of the TV and join us. Christmas is the time each year when we are reminded that light invaded darkness. When things seemed at their worst, God stepped in and changed the world forever. I wholly believe that understanding each of these gifts will more fully build your hope and expectation while also filling your awareness of all that God wants to do in your life. The title of today's message is a powerful statement that I pray you will internalize today. Here it is, I am known. Please say that out loud at home. Tell someone sitting next to you right now. Type it online. Come on, I am known. Perhaps in your life right now, you feel unknown. That may mean that you feel anonymous, like a wallflower, as though no one knows your contributions. It could mean that you feel as though no one truly understands you. You may have people in your life all day, every day, but you believe that no one knows how you truly feel, how you hurt, how you really think. Or maybe you believe that if anyone truly knew the real you, that they wouldn't really love and accept you. But I want to challenge you on this belief or on this feeling today. In fact, let me vigorously declare that you are known. You are loved, and nothing you've done can change this. Moreover, there's a clue embedded in one of the gifts that will prove this. Over 2,000 years ago, there was a gift that foreshadowed and forever proclaimed to God's children, you are loved, you are known. Come on, if you haven't typed it yet, do so now. I am known. Again, say it out loud at home. I want us to get this. I am known. To unearth this powerful truth laden within a gift, let's go back and get some context in Matthew chapter 2. In case you aren't familiar with the story, Jesus was born in Bethlehem during the reign of King Herod, and some wise men, or you might call them magi, traveled a great distance to come and worship Jesus. Now say it out loud at home, the answer to this question, how many wise men were there? How many of you have a nativity scene at your house or at grandma's house? There's a nativity scene there. Raise your hand at home. If you look at the nativity scene, how many wise men do you always see? Right? You always see three. How many wise men were actually there? We don't know. We have no idea. We tend to think that there were three, perhaps because they brought three gifts, but the reality is we don't really know how many were there. Chances are there could have been dozens, but traditionally we think of three. What we do know for sure is that these wise men were highly educated, they were likely quite wealthy, and they were desperate to meet the one who might be the Savior of the world. Scripture tells us this in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I don't know about you, but when Katie and I had three children, we did not receive gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We did receive a lot of diapers and some snot suckers, but no gold was present. The wise men brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gifts were not only highly valuable, they were also incredibly practical and deeply spiritual. In fact, what we'll discover during our three parts of this series is that Bible scholars agree that these are not random gifts that could simply be of some use for the family, but they foreshadow for us what Jesus will represent. Gold represented the kingship of Jesus. Myrrh, we'll talk about next week, represented Jesus as the suffering servant or the Lamb of God. Today we're going to talk about frankincense. It's kind of fun to say out loud, so why don't you try it? I'd have you write it online, but I don't want anyone to be embarrassed if they happen to spell it incorrectly. Now, before I tell you what it represented, let's talk for a moment about this gift of frankincense. It's often broken down into an oil, which becomes highly versatile. And I don't know if you have any essential oil fans in your house. We have some in ours. In fact, if someone walks by and you catch the aroma of the oil, you can actually tell their ailment. It's kind of crazy, but that's how it is in our house. They may have a headache, or perhaps they burned a finger. Maybe they have indigestion or sinus issues. We can all determine someone's concern based on the aroma of the oil that they might have put on. I know it's weird, but that's kind of how it works in our house. Frankincense oil possesses antiseptic, astringent, carminative, diuretic, digestive, sedative, uterine, and vulnerary properties. If you're like me, you understood some of those, but maybe not all of them. In short, frankincense oil was very expensive, and it was used to heal many sicknesses and wounds. Moreover, frankincense was the oil that the priests would use during the sacrifices to burn incense that would then make the smoke that would arise up to heaven. This smoke symbolized the prayers of the people rising in faith to God. And this is why Bible scholars agree that frankincense represents the priesthood of Jesus. Now, if you're like me, you didn't come from a religious background where the leader is a priest. So it may be confusing to you to think of Jesus as the high priest. So I want to deep dive and bring some scholarly, perhaps even a little heady teaching for just a little bit. Now, I think you can handle it. If you can handle it, why don't you type this online, I can handle it. Maybe you'd say, I'm ready. Listen, you got to stick with me for just a few minutes, but if you do, I truly think this could alter your relationship with God. I do. Come on, type it right now. Let me know that you're ready. I can handle it. All right, come on, let's go after it right now. Jesus, the high priest, in Scripture, the priests served one primary role that was broken down into two functions. The primary role of the priest was to represent the people before God. And the two functions of this role would be seen in sacrifices and prayers. Why don't you say those two things out loud at home right now? Sacrifices and prayers. Role number one, sacrifices. First, when the priest would make sacrifices before God, it was to represent repentance and forgiveness of the people's sins. Role number two, this prayers. When the priest would pray, his prayers were on behalf of the people to their God. Let's talk about these for just a moment. Sacrifices and prayers. To talk about sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins, we'll have to go back to the very beginning for a moment. Since the very moment in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, there have been two opposing forces at work. There is the holiness of God and the sinfulness of mankind. Now, I know that even as I say the word sin out loud, it's not a popular word in culture. A lot of people do not want to say that we actually sin. They may prefer to say that we make mistakes, or they may defiantly believe that no one sins, or they might think, who are you to tell me that I sin? If it feels good, I'm going to do it. or what's good to me is true to me, or what's true to you. Some may think of sin as an outdated way of tricking children into behaving, sort of like an ancient version of Elf on the Shelf. I get it. Sin isn't a well-liked term these days, but please hear me. It is imperative that we come to grips with our own sin. If we don't comprehend our sin, then we cannot comprehend the holiness of our God. And if we maintain a casual approach to our sin, then we'll never understand the cost and the tragedy of what sin does to us. Therein, we'll downplay the holiness of God and completely miss how profound it is that the holiness of God placed our sin upon His own perfect Son. The English word holy is derived from the Greek word kadosh, and it means to separate or other. God is wholly separate, transcendent, flawless, and pure. Holiness isn't just an attribute. God's holiness is the perfection of all His attributes. His power is holy. His grace is holy. His mercy is holy. His glory, holy. His holiness, His otherness, His separateness is what not only makes Him worthy of our praise, but when we begin to comprehend who He truly is, we can have no other response but to glorify Him. God is holy. But we are not. Not one of us. Not you, not me, not the really nice person you know at work. All of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's standard. This sin breaks fellowship between us and God. It's why God hates sin, because He loves us. Sin destroys our lives, it corrupts our character, it divides our relationships, and it multiplies hatred. There are these two forces in tension, the sinfulness of humanity and the holiness of God. In the Old Testament, once a year, the high priest would make a sacrifice as a temporary payment for the sins of the people. It was called Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. The priest would sacrifice an innocent animal before going into the tabernacle and then behind the veil into a place known as the Holy of Holies. The priest would light the frankincense oil and the smoke would rise up to heaven, representing the cries of the people requesting God's mercy. The priest would take the blood of the animal and sprinkle it on the mercy seat, which symbolized the death of the innocent on behalf of the sinful. Then the priest would take an innocent goat, hold on to its head and confess the sins of the people onto the goat. This symbolized the transference of the sins from the guilty to the innocent. And then they would drive the goat out into the wilderness. This symbolized that the people had been forgiven. They were, in essence, separated from their sins. This is where we get the term scapegoat that we use even today. Now, listen, can we just pause for a moment and acknowledge that this is super weird? Is that okay? I think it is. An innocent animal is sacrificed brutally. Another innocent animal is run out of town, often stoned or even run off of a cliff. It's extreme, it's gross, it's entirely unfair. The innocent dying for the guilty. And here's where we begin to understand the holiness of God. You see, God is just, which means sin must receive punishment. God is also merciful, so the sacrifice satisfies the justice of God while at the same time extending mercy to the people. Now, this is a temporary covering under the old covenant, but we are people under a new and better covenant. Hebrews 10:10 says that we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus became the sacrifice, the scapegoat for you and me. The innocent Lamb of God was given to pay for the sins of a guilty humanity. His sacrifice makes us holy. He takes our sin and then He gives us His holiness. We didn't earn it. In grace, we can freely receive it because He gives it away. Jesus offered Himself once for all people. He didn't just offer the sacrifice. Jesus climbed up on the altar. His blood was poured on the mercy seat. And when we receive His grace, we're fully and completely forgiven. Now that's a great place right there to write, amen. Jesus is the great high priest who became the sacrifice for our sins. Jesus isn't some distant savior. No, Jesus is the close and compassionate high priest. Look at what it says in Hebrews. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. In just a moment, I want to show you the next and final verse in this chapter, but before we do, in our remaining minutes, I'm praying for you that the truth and power of this verse will find its way deep into your soul. Whatever you're facing today, Jesus understands you. If you feel alone, Jesus was abandoned by his friends. If you're heartbroken, Jesus was betrayed by a close friend. If you feel stressed and anxious, when Jesus prayed before being betrayed, he said that he was in agony to the point of death. His soul was so overcome that his body actually sweat blood. If you deal with crazy people, listen, Jesus dealt with crazy people. If you're facing a scandal, Jesus was born out of wedlock. Jesus lived in poverty. He was criticized regularly. He was ridiculed and bullied by leaders. He was personally tempted by the devil when his body was exhausted and weak. Jesus grieved the death of a close friend. He was accused even though he was innocent. Even while Jesus hung on a cross, he felt as though his Father had abandoned him. Now, God didn't leave him, but it felt like that to Jesus. It felt that way because God did look away. Think about it for a moment. This holy God sent his beautiful Son, his holy Son, to earth. And in the worst moment this planet has ever known, all evil, all sin, all murder and hate and oppression, all of it was placed on Jesus. In that moment, he became the scapegoat. Because God is too holy to look upon sin, he looked away and in agony, Jesus cried out, my God, where are you? If you've ever felt like you couldn't reach the presence of God, Jesus understands you. Where you hurt, he hurt. Whatever you felt, he felt. He's not a distant God. He's a great high priest that can sympathize with you. He's felt our physical pain. He's navigated our emotions. He's been rejected. He's lived under the weight of agony. And I wonder today, I wonder if you can begin to soak in just what God thinks of you and what he's done for you. Our holy God sent his only Son. He put on flesh. He was born as a helpless child to poor parents. In time, wealthy wise men would be divinely directed to visit and to offer gifts. Each gift prophetically declaring the nature of Jesus. Gold for a king, myrrh for the suffering Lamb of God, and frankincense for our high priest who would be sacrificed for the forgiveness of sins. Do you remember the title of our message? I am known. You are. Jesus knows all of you. He knows all the hurt, all the mess, all the brokenness that you bring. Nothing is hidden from him. We think that to be truly known is to be unlovable. Yet when the great high priest looks at you, he knows you fully and he chooses to take all of you, all of your hurts, all of your sin, and he places it all onto his own shoulders and he says, I know it all. I love it all. I willingly died for it all. You are known and you are loved. Jesus, the high priest, not only made this sacrifice for your sins, but he makes it possible for your prayers to reach up to God. Do you remember this part? Sacrifice for sins and the prayers of the people. While our sin separated us from God, Jesus as the scapegoat separated us from our sin. When God looks at us, he no longer sees our sin. So look with me at the final verse of Hebrews chapter 4. It says this, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In the old covenant, the priest would enter into the Holy of Holies and he would light the incense to represent the prayers of the people. He alone could go into the holy place. They actually tied a rope around his ankle in case he died while he was in God's presence. I'm not making that up. But watch this. As the great high priest, Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father, and he mentions you by name to God. And this, listen, that would be more than enough. But God doesn't stop there. Did you see what the writer in Hebrews points out? Since Jesus transferred his holiness to us, you and I can enter into the holy place with God and boldly pray to our gracious God, finding mercy and grace in our time of need. I am known by a holy, loving God. I don't deserve it, but the sacrifice has already been made on my behalf. Because I've received his love and grace, I can come boldly into his presence. And I want to invite you to do that today. You can come to him because he cares. He understands. He has grace waiting. He has mercy waiting. You don't have to know exactly what to say. You don't have to be perfect. Jesus was already perfect on your behalf. Would you pray with me right now? Father, thank you that we have a great high priest, Jesus, who sacrificed his life for the forgiveness of our sins and who now prays for us, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding on our behalf. Come on, would you just take a moment and talk to him? He cares about you. He understands the details of your life. Those of you who may have a loved one that's far from God, take that person before God right now. Understand that Jesus is praying for that person right now. Who is Jesus in this moment? He is the high priest who is our Savior. If you're struggling financially, you feel that very real weight of this world. So many expenses, so few resources at times. Just telling, I'm afraid, I'm hurting. Jesus, your high priest, he is your provider. He meets all your needs according to God's glory and riches in heaven. You're hurting emotionally, perhaps. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Your high priest is also your comforter. He's been where you've been. He hurts like you hurt. He understands. You're struggling physically or someone you love's had a bad medical report. Jesus, your high priest, bore stripes on his back so that he could be your healer. Cry out to him. You're tired, you're exhausted, you're overwhelmed. You don't feel like you can hold it together. You're completely weak and broken. When you are weak, Jesus, the high priest, is your strength. He understands your weakness. His strength is made complete in that place. Call him. He is your high priest. Hey, listen, as we continue praying in a moment, I'm going to ask those of you who need him as your Savior to receive his grace today. The holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. Some of you recognize that if we sat down and we had a conversation together and I were to ask you where you are spiritually, you might say that you don't know. You might say, I go to church or I kind of believe or I'm not really sure what I believe, but let me be as clear as I can. Who is Jesus? He is your high priest. He is the Lamb of God. He was innocent in every way, just like an innocent animal. He was innocent and he never sinned. Therefore, he could give his life to satisfy the justice of God. And God extends mercy to you. This is why the gospel means good news. This is the most amazing news that God, who loved you so much, he became one of you. He gave up his life for you. Jesus died and he rose again so that anyone, and this includes you, it doesn't matter how bad you've been, it doesn't matter how dark your life feels, anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. There are those of you, you recognize you need his mercy, you need his forgiveness. Listen, you're not made right with God because you're good, you're made right with God because Jesus is perfect in every way. Listen, those of you who say, yes, I need his grace, I need his mercy. Today, by faith, I give my life to him. That's your prayer. Listen, right now, pray with me. Do not wait because today is your day. You can pray out loud. You can pray it silently in your own heart. Something like this. Come on, right now. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe you died to forgive me. I believe you rose up from the dead to make me alive. And today, I choose to follow you. Guide me to follow you my whole life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, let me be the first to celebrate this important spiritual step with you. I'm so proud of you, and I want you to do something before you do anything else. You cannot walk this journey with God alone because you're not made to. You need a church family. We all do. So right now, text the word STEPS to 94253, and on the form that we'll send you, check the box letting us know the spiritual decision that you made. We'll follow up with you and help you know your spiritual next steps. Hey, in just a moment, we'll continue to lift our voices to the powerful name of Jesus and spend time in God's presence. But let me give you just some super quick notes before we do. For anyone that's wanting prayer, maybe you're interested in baptism or just wanting to take some spiritual steps, why don't you do this? Text the word STEPS to 94253 and let us know how God is leading you today. We are here to help you continue growing in God. If you have preschool and elementary kids, why don't you hop on our YouTube channel for their Uptown and Midtown worship and video lessons. They are a lot of fun, and they are a really great way to invest spiritually in your household. Come on, don't wait. You want to hop on there today. If you'd like to give online, you can do so at echochurch.cc and simply click on the Give button, or you can hit the Give button on the echochurch.cc app if you like to use the app. Even in the midst of challenging times that we're all facing, I'm really proud of you for taking time to worship with your church family today. Yes, things are different this year, but we've got so much to celebrate. For all things Echo, remember, visit ChristmasInAvon.com to get all of the details. We'll be right here online and in person. Join us for some carriage rides on the 20th, and we'll have a specially family Christmas Eve service on Thursday, December 24th. All right, guys, listen, follow Jesus with your whole life this week. Know that you are not alone. We're in this together. And as we trust God with our lives, He is faithful to build us up. Remember this week, you are known by a great high priest. He's been where you are. He's felt what you feel. And what's more, He's made sacrifice for your sins. He's made it possible for your prayers to reach God. In fact, you can boldly enter into the holy place and speak with God. Come on, lean into Him this week. Hey guys, we love you. We're here for you, and we'll see you next week.